Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. You know, Tara, the other night we were having dinner with new friends who had just completed an adoption. So this made three children for their family.
Okay.
Two biological, one adopted. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the logistics of it all and how they were coming off the high of the travel. And
the honeymoon phase.
Yep. And they were entering the hard part.
Mm.
And they looked at Kevin and I and they said, the hardest part is adjusting to the new normal at home.
That's so true.
And there's no books for that, Lynette. And
that's
they
true.
Were just beginning to pick our brain. And we, Kevin and I were thinking back on how we did it. You know, when a new one joins the family, that is your calling.
That is. It's your new normal.
It is. And we have a phrase at our house. Kevin says all the time, I need everybody to stay in your lane. Right?
Right.
And so this is your new lane.
Right.
Adjusting life for attachment during this time is God's will for the family, right?
That's right.
For those first couple of months, they just look different than what life will look on down the road.
They do.
Building a sense of dailiness builds security and trust.
That's exactly right. I can remember, you know, the first few days at home with our first adoption, and they were very honeymoonish.
Yes.
I mean, it was all, you know, rainbows and lollipops. And then day four, there was a tantrum of epic proportion that I didn't know a child was capable of.
Right.
And I quickly was emailing my social worker thinking, what in the world have we done? I don't know that we can do this. This is my new normal. I don't have the skill set to deal with this. And I realized as we've journeyed through the years and we just, you know, had the stick-to-itiveness to keep going, that more and more families that we came in contact with had a very similar scenario at home.
They do.
And so when those things happen, when the baby starts crying incessantly and you can't seem to get things under control, when your school-aged adopted child or foster child has a tantrum of epic proportion, it's really okay.
Yeah.
It's not abnormal for that to happen, but the way that you react and the way that you choose to move forward is going to be able to be all the difference in the world between attaching and not attaching.
That's right. And so can I just say to mom, I know you enjoy many things.
Right.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many things. But this is a time to just hunker down at home.
Right.
And it's not for the faint of heart, but it is for you.
Right.
In the first 6 months or so. Here's what we have to understand. And asking your family to broaden your tent, to open your life to bringing home a child, Jesus placed upon you a very high calling. Now he asks us to release our agenda,
right?
To hold it loosely, to lose your life, your plans, if you will, so that this wounded, broken little one can begin to heal. You know, if you listen to Sharon Miles' podcast, you'll remember that she had a funeral.
I remember that.
An actual funeral service in her own backyard. She had brought home three older children internationally.
Right.
And had empty nest.
Right. And they were school aged.
They were school aged, but they couldn't enter our school system
right.
yet. And so she took rocks and she wrote on them her former life, tennis, meeting out for lunch with friends. Tuesday ladies Bible study.
All good things.
All good things.
All fun things, good things for life.
And then she took them in the backyard. She lifted them up to the Lord, and she threw them in the lake.
I love that story because it's so true. You know, when you bring home a baby, if you're pregnant, you bring home a baby, you know that for the first several months, you're going to be sleep deprived. You're going to be incredibly tired. Everything's going to kind of be in disarray and your house is going to be a wreck. So in your mind, you know that to be true.
And the world gives you a break.
And the world gives you a break. And it's very similar. You know, life as you know it, if Sharon was doing all of those things before she, you know, physically had a baby, she knows that those things are going to have to go on hold for a while.
Right.
It's the same thing when you're bringing home a foster or adoptive child. Your agenda is on hold for a while.
Right. And the world doesn't understand that.
They don't.
That's why we need community and one
yes.
another. But when Sharon did this, when she did the physical act of letting go of her former life, her former days, the things she just did the week before.
Right.
When she did this, this was the portal to joy for her new, very difficult normal.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and right. follow me. I always say the Lord looked at the disciples, got their eye contact, and added the word daily because
right.
he knew in 1964 I'd be born and I would need that daily word in there. Do not grow weary, Mama, mm-hmm. in doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3:13.
That's right. And during those difficult times, you do have to remember that you have to take a deep breath sometimes.
Right.
Recognize that you're going to need a break sometimes, because the refreshment of a small break, whether it's, you know, I'm going to go take a 15-minute shower, and Daddy, you're going to take care of things here. Just to be able to have that break, then to be able to be refreshed, to be able to do the next thing. It's not what's my goal for the entire day. It's what's my goal for the next moment.
The next thing, yeah, mm-hmm. that's great. That's a great point. And, you know, I get it. I'm very well aware that this is humbling.
Right.
And it's confining.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. But, you know, in Luke 18:14, the Lord said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. It's
mm-hmm.
humbling. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I've often heard perseverance described as long obedience in the same direction.
Oh, that's a good definition.
And so what do these days look like moving in that direction to wholeness for this child? What do those first days look like for you?
Well, for us, because we brought home school-age children, it looked a little different than if we'd brought home an infant. But even so, no matter what age range you bring home, it is that moment-by-moment goal orientation. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to put my feet on the ground
right.
and ask the Lord for his help in getting through the next moment of the day. I'm going to feed breakfast to our child. And whether that breakfast takes 10 minutes or an hour, your goal is to get breakfast in the child. The next goal might possibly be to get dressed.
Yes.
Now, whether you accomplish that goal or not, the first 3, 4, 5 days, the first 2 weeks, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what you're going toward.
And as simple as that sounds,
mm-hmm.
it can be an incredible hurdle to get over.
Right. Right. I mean, I can remember bringing home a baby and David coming home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, me still being in my pajamas, and he'd look at me like, what have you done today? And I wanted to say, what have I not done today?
Exactly.
So there will come a time, though, that one day after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, you're going to look up and say, not only did we get up, have time with the Lord, eat breakfast, get our clothes on, we also read a book, went to story time at the library,
right.
had lunch, took a nap. So eventually, a new normalcy is going to occur. And all of that, when you talked about confining, it is confining. And for people who are extroverts, it's really hard. But you just kind of have to release your agenda, because that confining time in those moments of eating breakfast together, if it takes an
right,
hour.
Coming to the table.
Those are the things that allow you to have shared experiences with your child, which allows for attachment and bonding. And you have to give yourself time. It's going to be hard, and you might even feel like you're babysitting somebody else's child
right.
for the first 6 months. But you do the right thing, do the next thing, be the adult in the room, as
right.
we often say, and eventually the Lord will provide those feelings of love and affection if they haven't come supernaturally to you at the beginning.
Right, and hear us say, Mom, don't drown.
Right.
Because one of my first outings when our son came home was meeting up, you probably don't even remember, it was meeting up with you and your boys at just a pizza buffet.
Right.
You know, because we got in a small corner table.
Mm-hmm.
It was an outing. Dad was not with us,
right.
so that was different. But it was a small step
mm-hmm.
to doing things we normally like to do together as a family.
Right.
You know, in Luke 19, I think about how Jesus sought out Zacchaeus. In other words, Jesus was for Zacchaeus.
Right.
And in Luke 19:6, he tells Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house.
So Jesus was outside of his normal day and stayed at Zacchaeus' house.
That's right. It was Jesus' plan to stop and take time for Zacchaeus so that, here's
mm-hmm.
the goal, salvation could come to his home. And Jesus came eternally
right.
for Zacchaeus and his family. So for the adopted child, the need to know we're in our home.
Right.
This is what home looks like. Let me teach you about Jesus in our home. I am for you as
mm-hmm.
my as our new child.
Right.
As our, we're building our new normal. I'm here. You're safe in your new home. We won't leave you. Our family is forever. That's to take precedent over all other things.
Right.
And you see, one of the deepest fears, I believe, for an adopted or foster child is the fear of abandonment, right?
Absolutely.
Every kid needs someone by their side, someone in the stands who is there for them, who awakes them in the morning with a smile, just as you talked about, mm-hmm. and a hug, a daily routine, who picks them up from school and assures them that a warm meal is being prepared, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Someone who knows when to listen and when to hold. So in those first few months at home, it's imperative to communicate these truths, to lay the strong foundation of attachment and family. When you're able to be a loving daily presence for your child, you are empowering him to move toward wholeness.
That's right. And it helps bond your whole family. If you have other children in the home and you get
it
through
sure
those
does.
First,
yes.
you know, little bits, it's okay that I can remember when our youngest came home, we had pancake breakfast every morning, I think, for a month because he ate them and he loved them. Yes, I realize that's unhealthy, but
you just do what works.
We did. Yeah. And one of our boys was a pancake making machine. And so it was his way of serving brothers. So we had a much more relaxed big breakfast time, morning time, just so that one child could serve another child and it could become like a normal thing and a normal routine. And then as time wore on, we were able to speed things up a little bit. We didn't have to eat pancakes every morning. Those kinds of things. But
that's a good point you make about you relax life. I
right.
love that because one of ours didn't know how to sit at a table.
Mm-hmm.
She'd never seen utensils to eat
right.
with. And so that caused when we all, I love family dinner
Me
at the
too.
Table. I was raised that way. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important for a family. And I know you can't do it every night, but I think you should do it a lot.
Right.
And so she could not understand the concept at 3 years old of sitting at a table and conversing.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't speak our language.
Right.
And our food smelled terrible to her, although we were trying to accommodate her.
Right.
So it took us probably 2 weeks to get over mm-hmm. the hurdle of sitting at a table.
Right.
So we weren't even at the pancake breakfast level
yeah.
yet. So we had to relax life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our routines... certain restaurants we went to after church or, you know, your routine you get
right.
into, we just had to hold loosely.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the time does come when you have more of a resemblance of your old life and your old hobbies and all of those things as your child settles in. But even some of those things, like tennis, might be eventually one of those things that your child loves to do with you. So the things that your family loves and the things that your family does, it's not as if they're lost forever.
Right.
They will come back around. But every season of life requires us to give something up.
That's right.
If you're going to get married, it means that David Melber could not be on Kentucky Lake fishing every single weekend after we got married. But that doesn't mean that fishing and hunting was all over for him
right.
after he put a ring on his finger.
Right.
So the same goes for when you bring a baby in the home. When there are different new life mile markers, some things have to go to the side, and that is okay. The Lord gave you that season of enjoyment for a little while, and he will allow those things to come
That's
back.
That's right. But for this time, stay in your lane.
Yes.
Hunker down at home. Tie down the tent at home and simplify life,
mm-hmm.
clear the calendar as best you can in those early days, and that will help connect you and your child and your bio kids, mm-hmm. your whole family in a deeper way.
Right.
It really will.
We did many things together where, you know, some of the in the later adoption, some of our kids, our older kids, were doing their own thing, and we asked them,
right,
hey, I know that you play three sports. They actually didn't all play three sports,
but
three different
sports. But a lot of
people
do, yeah.
We're going to ask you to simplify your life, too. And some people might say, well, that's not fair. They're not the ones who adopted. But they are a Melber. We're the Melber team, and we're going to all get to know each other the very best that we can. That's going to require shared experiences.
That's right.
And that it is a sacrifice for the family, no matter how you're expanding your family. So it's okay to ask of your teenagers or your school-age kids, hey, we're going to kind of settle things down for a little while so that we can bond as a family. It's not a bad thing to ask your child to do that. It's really not. So simplifying for you as parents, but simplifying your entire family's calendar to be able to hunker down and be a little bit more confined in order to really, really facilitate that attachment in your family.
Absolutely. But you know, one of the greatest paradoxes of living for Jesus is that greatest joy, most fulfilling stages of life can come when we are serving others.
That's right.
And it's going to take time, and some days will be messy and clouded, but it's mind over matter, right? It's getting up.
It's a choice.
And doing the right
thing
day after day to build trust and security for your new family. Let us not grow weary again of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up.
Amen.
You know, Tara, when we refuse to hunker down at home or stay in our lane, or we keep adding to our schedule and not taking this new child the Lord has placed in our family into consideration, we may do it without even realizing it. But when we do that, what we're saying to the child is, I can only be somewhat committed to you because I'm first committed to me and my agenda and my want-tos. You know, I know daddy has to get up and go to work. I know kids have to get to school. I live that with a large family. I understand. But we can look at our coworkers. We can look at the church. We can look at coaches and say, we need a week or two here of grace so that we can, dad can get home a little earlier. We can have time together at night as a family. We can start our new normal of family devotion together. Whatever that looks like, we can have that snuggle time after pajamas. You know, that we can begin to add those things to our new family so that this child can settle down and begin to attach.
That's a good word. You've been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We're so glad you've taken time to listen today. Keep in mind, we are a ministry of the North American Mission Board and funded through the Annie Armstrong offering and your giving to the cooperative program. We look forward to talking more about adoption, fostering, and orphan care and how you can be involved.